and how large the groups had to be to teach them. All those things began to drop like dominoes as we began to realize there's something more important than the style of how we do it. That it gets done is far more important. Someone has said, and I happen to agree with them, is that if it's really worth doing, it's worth doing imperfectly. If it's really worth doing, it's worth doing imperfectly. Now, does that mean that it was a low standard or level of teaching? No, not at all. Because as you began to examine the shifting attention factors, you began to realize that that dramatic show that held the attention of 500 or 600 kids at a time probably was giving them actual, more retainable teaching stuff. Because it was being inserted into their little psyches at a time when their adrenaline was flowing. You know, it took several more years for educational psychologists to establish the memory and dopamine links having to do with retention of events. Why do you remember your first kiss? Why do you remember your first this? Why do you remember your first that? It's because something happens to you that stimulates that strangeness of that initiation, does something to you that makes memory a lot easier. You take a kid and you put him into an environment and something is really exciting going on, and he retains better the stuff because he gives full attention and also because his body chemistry actually sets up his brain to receive and retain the stuff better. We didn't know that stuff back when they were doing David and Goliath skits in bus churches. But they were making creative use of the resources. They weren't saying, we don't have, therefore we cannot. They said, we got these kids and we're going to make room for them. Now, it's that kind of creative use of resources. You say, but you don't understand. You've taught in the church growth movement the sociological strangulation 80% fill rule. And it says, once your buildings are on average of 80% full, you're going to start having a hassle factor that's going to prevent you from growing beyond that point. Right. As far as we know, that's still the rule. So what do you do about it? You don't lay down and accept the mathematics. You cooperate with the mathematics. You say, when is it that our building is not now being used? Where it has zero fill. And let's schedule something for that. But you know what we run into? The next statement from let's schedule another one is, we can't do that. Why? Well, nobody in Christendom has ever worshipped on an off hour before. You can't do that. You can't have another service. You can't have a third service. You can't have a fourth service. You can't have a Saturday service. You can't have a Friday service. You can't have a Thursday. Why? Well, because the Pope hasn't said so yet. It's amazing to me how we Protestants are far more influenced by the Catholic side of the aisle than we would believe. Saturday night services didn't take hold in Protestant churches until Saturday night masses had already been in vogue for a decade. And finally, somebody said, we can do Saturday night.